Edge Dancer. 1. Lift prepared to be awesome. She sprinted across an open field in northern Tashik, a little over a week's travel from Azimir. The place was overgrown with brown grass a foot or so high. The occasional trees were tall and twisty, with trunks that looked like they were made of interwoven vines, and branches that pointed upward more than out. They had some official name, but everyone she knew called them drop-deads because of their springy roots. In a storm, they'd fall over flat and just lie there. Afterward, they'd pop back up, like a rude gesture made at the passing winds. Lift's run startled a group of axe hinds who had been grazing nearby. The lean creatures leaped away on four legs with the two front claws pulled in close to the body. Good eating, those beasties. Barely any shell on them. But for once, Lift wasn't in the mood to eat. She was on the run.
Mistress,
Windle, her pet Voidbringer, called. He took the shape of a vine, growing along the ground beside her at superfast speed, matching her pace. He didn't have a face at the moment, but could speak anyway. Unfortunately.
Mistress, he pled. Can't we please just go back?
Nope. Lift became awesome. She drew on the stuff inside of her, the stuff that made her glow. She slicked the bottom of her feet with it and leaped into a skid. Suddenly the ground didn't rub against her at all. She slid as if on ice, whipping through the field. Grass startled all around her, curling as it yanked down into stone burrows. That made it bow before her in a wave. She zipped along, wind pushing back her long black hair, tugging at the loose overshirt she wore atop her tighter brown undershirt, which she tucked into her loose-cuffed trousers. She slid and felt free, just her and the wind. A little wind spren, like a white ribbon in the air, started to follow her. Then she hit a rock. The stupid rock held firm. It was held in place by little tufts of moss that grew on the ground and stuck to things like stones, holding them down as shelter against the wind. Lift's foot flashed with pain, and she tumbled in the air, then hit the stone ground face first. Reflexively, she made her face awesome, so she kept right on going, skidding on her cheek until she hit a tree. She stopped there, finally. The tree slowly fell over, playing dead. It hit with a shivering sound of leaves and branches. Lift sat up, rubbing her face. She'd cut her foot, but her awesomeness plugged up the hole, healing it plenty quick. Her face didn't even hurt much. When a part of her was awesome, it didn't rub on what it touched. It just kind of glided. She still felt stupid.
Mistress,
Windle said, curling up to her. His vine looked like the type fancy people would grow on their buildings to hide up parts that didn't look rich enough. Except he had bits of crystal growing out of him along the vine's length. They jutted out unexpectedly, like toenails on a face. When he moved, he didn't wiggle like an eel. He actually grew, leaving a long trail of vines behind him that would soon crystallize and decay into dust. Voidbringers were strange. He wound around himself in a circle, like rope coiling, and formed a small tower of vines. And then something grew from the top, a face that formed out of vines, leaves, and gemstones. The mouth worked as he spoke.
Oh, mistress, he said. Can't we stop playing out here, please? We need to get back to Azimir.
Go back? Lift stood up. We just escaped that place.
Escaped? The palace? Mistress, you were an honored guest of the Emperor. You had everything you wanted, as much food, as much...
All lies, she declared, hands on hips. to keep me from noticing the truth. They was going to eat me. Wendell stammered. He wasn't so frightening for a void bringer. He must have been like the void bringer all the other ones made fun of for wearing silly hats. The one that would correct all the others and explain which fork they had to use when they sat down to consume human souls.
Mistress, Wendell said, humans do not eat other humans. You were a guest.
Yeah, but why? They gave me too much stuff.
You saved the Emperor's life.
That should have been good for a few days of freeloading, she said. I once pulled a guy out of prison and he gave me 5 whole days in his den for free and a nice handkerchief, too. That was generous. The Azish? Letting me stay as long as I wanted? She shook her head. They wanted something. Only explanation. They was going to starve and eat me.
But,
Lift started running again. The cold stone, perforated by grass burrows, felt good on her toes and feet. No shoes. What good were shoes? In the palace, they'd started offering her heaps of shoes and nice clothing, big comfy coats and robes, clothing you could get lost in. She'd liked wearing something soft for once. Then they'd started asking, why not take some lessons and learn to read? They were grateful for what she'd done for Gox, who was now Prime Akasix, a fancy title for their ruler. Because of her service, she could have tutors, they said. She could learn how to wear those clothes properly, learn how to read. It had started to consume her. If she'd stayed, how long would it have been before she wasn't Lift anymore? How long until she'd have been gobbled up, another girl left in her place? Similar face, but at the same time all new. She tried using her awesomeness again. In the palace, they had talked about the recovery of ancient powers, knights radiant, the binding of surges, natural forces. I will remember those who have been forgotten. Lift slicked herself with power, then skidded across the ground a few feet before tumbling and rolling through the grass. She pounded her fist on the stones. Stupid ground. Stupid awesomeness. How was she supposed to stay standing when her feet were slipperier than if they'd been coated in oil? She should just go back to paddling around on her knees. It was so much easier. She could balance that way and use her hands to steer, like a little crab scooting around this way and that.
They were elegant things of beauty, Darkness had said. They could ride the thinnest rope, dance across rooftops, move like a ribbon on the wind.
Darkness, the shadow of a man who had chased her, had said those things in the palace, speaking of those who had, long ago, used powers like Lift's. Maybe he'd been lying. After all, he'd been preparing to murder her at the time. Then again, why lie? He'd treated her derisively, as if she were nothing, worthless. She set her jaw and stood up. Wendell was still talking, but she ignored him, instead taking off across the deserted field, running as fast as she could, startling grass. She reached the top of a small hill, then jumped and coated her feet with power. She started slipping immediately. The air she pushed against when moving was holding her back. Lift hissed, then coated her entire self in power. She sliced through the wind, turning sideways as she skidded down the side of the hill. Air slid off her as if it couldn't find her. Even the sunlight seemed to melt off her skin. She was between places, here but not. No air, no ground, just pure motion. So fast that she reached grass before it had time to pull away. It flowed around her, its touch brushed aside by her power. Her skin started to glow, tendrils of smoky light rising from her. She laughed, reaching the bottom of the small hill. There she leaped some boulders and ran face first into another tree. The bubble of power around her popped. The tree toppled over, and for good measure, the two next to it decided to fall as well. Perhaps they thought they were missing out on something. Wendell found her grinning like a fool, staring up at the sun, spread out on the tree trunk with her arms interwoven with the branches, a single golden glory spren shaped like an orb, circling above her.
"Mistress," he said. "Oh, mistress, you were happy in the palace. I saw it in you."
She didn't reply.
"And the emperor," Wendell continued. "He'll miss you. You didn't even tell him you were going."
"I left him a note."
"A note? You learned to write?"
"Storms, no. I ate his dinner, right out from under the tray cover while they was preparing to bring it to him. Gox'll know what that means."
"I find that doubtful, mistress."
She climbed up from the fallen tree and stretched, then blew her hair out of her eyes. Maybe she could dance across rooftops, ride on ropes, or what was it? Make wind? Yeah, she could do that one for sure. She hopped off the tree and continued walking through the field. Unfortunately, her stomach had a few things to say about how much awesomeness she'd used. She ran on food, even more than most folks. She could draw some awesomeness from everything she ate, but once it was gone, she couldn't do anything incredible again until she'd had more to eat. Her stomach rumbled in complaint. She liked to imagine that it was cussing at her something awful, and she searched through her pockets. She'd run out of the food in her pack. She'd taken a lot this morning. But hadn't she found a sausage in the bottom before tossing the pack? Oh, right. She'd eaten that while watching those river spren a few hours ago. She dug in her pockets anyway, but only came out with a handkerchief that she'd used to wrap up a big stack of flatbread before stuffing it in her pack. She shoved part of the handkerchief into her mouth and started chewing.
"Mistress?" Wendell asked.
"Mayhap grubs on it," she said around the handkerchief.
"You shouldn't have been surge binding so much."
He wound along on the ground beside her, leaving a trail of vines and crystals.
"And we should have stayed in the palace. Oh, how did this happen to me? I should be gardening right now. I had the most magnificent chairs."
"Chairs?" Lift asked, pausing.
"Yes, chairs."
Wendell wound up in a coil beside her, forming a face that tilted toward her at an angle off the top of the coil.
"While in Shadesmar, I had collected the most magnificent selection of the souls of chairs from your side. I cultivated them, grew them into grand crystals. I had some windstalls, a nice showbur, quite the collection of spoonbacks, even a throne or two."
"You gardened chairs?"
"Of course I gardened chairs," Wendell said.
His ribbon of vine leaped off the coil and followed her as she started walking again.
"What else would I garden?
Plants?
Plants? Well, we have them in Shadesmar, but I'm no pedestrian gardener. I'm an artist. Why, I was planning an entire exhibition of sofas when the ring chose me for this atrocious duty."
"Smuffle Grammage Fragnet Feud.
Would you take that out of your mouth?"
Wendell snapped. Lift did so. Wendell huffed. How a little vine thing huffed, Lift didn't know, but he did it all the time.
"Now, what were you trying to say?"
"Gibberish," Lift said. "I just wanted to see how you'd respond."
She stuffed the other side of the handkerchief into her mouth and started sucking on it. They continued on with a sigh from Wendell, who muttered about gardening and his pathetic life. He certainly was a strange void-bringer. Come to think of it, she'd never seen him act the least bit interested in consuming someone's soul. Maybe he was a vegetarian. They passed through a small forest, really just a corpse of trees.
which was a strange term, since she never seemed to find any bodies in them. These weren't even drop-deads. Those tended to grow in small patches, but each apart from the others. These had branches that wound around one another as they grew, dense and intertwined to face the high storms. That was basically the way to do it, right? Everyone else, they wound their branches together, braced themselves. But Lift, she was a drop-dead. Don't intertwine, don't get caught up, go your own way. Yes, that was definitely how she was. That was why she'd had to leave the palace, obviously. You couldn't live your life getting up and seeing the same things every day. You had to keep moving, otherwise people started to know who you were, and then they started to expect things from you. It was one stop from there to being gobbled up. She stopped right inside the trees, standing on a pathway that someone had cut and kept maintained. She looked backward, northward, toward Azir.
"Is this about what happened to you?" Wendell asked. "I don't know a lot about humans, but I believe it was natural, disconcerting though it might appear. You aren't wounded."
Lift shaded her eyes. The wrong things were changing. She was supposed to stay the same, and the world was supposed to change around her. She'd asked for that, hadn't she? Had she been lied to?
"Are we going back?"
Wendell asked, hopeful. "No," Lift said. "Just saying goodbye." Lift shoved her hands in her pockets and turned around before continuing through the trees.